Welcome to episode 11 of the Bible Q&A with Pastor Stephen. My name is Stephen Pace, and I'm the senior pastor at Decatur Bible Church in Decatur, Michigan. This podcast attempts to answer Bible questions in a clear but thorough manner. If you would like to have a Bible-related question considered for a future episode, you can email me your question at pastorstephendbc@gmail.com. Again, that's Pastor, S-T-E-V-E-N, D-B-C, @gmail.com. In this episode, we're going to continue our series of podcasts that we've had that is related to the topic of angelology, or the doctrine of angels. As I've said in the previous episodes, most of what we know about angels comes from pop culture. However, in this series of podcasts, we are looking at what the Bible has to say. So grab your Bibles and let's get started. Now, this is going to be the fifth and final study of podcast on angels. In the previous episodes, episode 7, episode 8, 9, and 10, we've looked at a variety of things with regards to angels, but today we're going to look at the topic of the angel of the Lord. I'm going to read a quote from C. Fred Dickinson in his book on angels. Dickinson writes, "The angel of the Lord carries with him an air of mystery. Who is he? He seems far more than an ordinary angel." This is a good way of setting the stage for the podcast with Dickinson's quote there from his book, because many people believe that the angel of the Lord, the angel of Yahweh, if you will, is the eternal Son of God. Said another way, the angel of the Lord is a pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. Now, someone may say, well, what would make someone think that? We've seen a variety of different topics about angels. Is there something unique about this particular angel that we see in the Old Testament that is called the angel of Yahweh or the Lord? And so that's what we'll be looking at in this podcast today. The first question that we're going to look at in helping to determine if this is the case, that the angel of the Lord is a pre-incarnate Jesus, the question we're going to start with is, what evidence then do we have from the Bible that would indicate that the angel of the Lord might be a pre-incarnate Jesus Christ? Well, first off, as we will look in just a few moments at some passages in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord spoke as God. He identifies himself as God in various places, but he also exercised the prerogatives, if you will, the privileges, the rights, and so forth of God. Now, you'll see in various passages the expression, the angel of the Lord. Let's look at a few of these. And you'll see in these passages what I said just a moment ago, that he identifies himself with God. He exercises some of the privileges, the prerogatives, if you will, of God, but he actually spoke as God as well. The first one we'll look at is in Genesis chapter 16, verses 7 through 11. Genesis 16, 7 through 11. There you have the Hagar and Ishmael situation there. And you'll notice there where it starts off in verse 7, "Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur." Now, as you see that there, you see the expression, the angel of the Lord. One thing we'll note later on in the New Testament is that there is a change and something we need to look for. But you'll see the expression there, the angel of the Lord. As we've seen in previous podcasts, there, of course, are angels, angels of God. But you notice the way the wording is, it's very particular, the angel of the Lord. And the Lord is in all caps, which is another way of saying Jehovah or Yahweh. Another passage you'll find this in, meaning the angel of the Lord. You can find this also in an example is Genesis chapter 22, verses 11 through 15. You see this here in regards to Abraham and Isaac in that situation there. In verse 11 of Genesis 22, quote, "But the angel of the Lord called to Abram from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad, etc." And so there we see where, once again, the angel of the Lord is there speaking. He is also referenced once again as the angel of Jehovah or Yahweh. You can also see the angel of the Lord in the book of Judges. For example, if you look at Judges chapter 6, verse 11 through 12. And then again in Judges 13, verses 1 through 23, that being the birth of Samson. And so you'll see sporadically through that, the angel of the Lord, for instance, in verse 16 of Judges 13, but in the birth of Samson. You also see it in one other location, and that I'd like you to turn is 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 16. Again, 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 16. Now, that being the end of the book we know as 2 Samuel, but you'll see it there as well, 2 Samuel in 24 verse 16. "And when the angel stretched out his hand over Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord relented from destruction and said to the angel who was destroying the people, It is enough, now restrain your hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing floor." So there you see again in 2 Samuel in chapter 24 and verse 16. Now, there you see just a few verses that we've looked at, Judges, 2 Samuel, Genesis, that show the angel of the Lord distinct from just various generic, if you will, general angels. But sometimes, of course, people need to remember that Jesus did not come into existence in Bethlehem, meaning at the manger, as we call it, at Christmas. Rather, Jesus is the eternal Son of God. And so Jesus existed, and you see this a lot in the book of John, the Gospel of John. For instance, John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," verse 14, "and the Word became flesh." You'll also see in John chapter 17, in his high priestly prayer, as we sometimes call it, he speaks of his eternality. So again, Jesus existed as the eternal Son of God. But what happened was at his birth, if you will, is that he took on human flesh. So the idea of a pre-incarnate Jesus fits well with the New Testament, if you will, theology, Christology. Now for our second question, are there any similarities between Jesus and the angel of the Lord? Said another way, are there any examples of some similarities that existed during the gospel period, the earthly ministry, you might say, of the Lord Jesus and the appearances of the angel of the Lord? Now, I think that one way to answer this question is to turn to John 8, and look at verse 58 with me. Jesus has been asked and has been dialoguing and states that Abraham rejoiced and was looking forward to his day, his coming, if you will, in order that he might see that day coming. And in verse 57, the Jews say, "You are not yet 50 years old and have seen Abraham." So obviously Abraham here being a reference back to the earlier chapters of Genesis 12 and forward. But you'll note verse 58, "And Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." So before Abraham even came into existence, Jesus says he was. Two things on this. First, he uses the statement, I am, which is God's reference and way of stating and defining himself. And we'll look at that in just a moment. But you also see where he is speaking of his pre-existence. So again, the idea of the eternality, the pre-existence of Jesus, we see that in John 8:58. We also see that in John 1, John 17:5, Philippians 2:6, and Colossians 1:16 through 17. So all of those speak of his pre-existence, his eternality. But let's go back to his statement, I am, in John 8:58. This is one of seven I am statements, as they're often called in John's gospel, where Jesus refers to himself as I am. And this is going back to a reference God makes of himself in Exodus chapter 3, the burning bush with Moses. In Genesis, we see, of course, the references would be to Abraham in that John 8:58. But in terms of I am, if you turn to Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14, Moses has basically said, what is his name? What shall I say to them? In other words, how does he go in dialogue with the fathers? And Jesus, of course, here is alluding to this. In Exodus 3:14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am, has sent you. So this is God's way of describing himself. He says, I am. I simply am who I am. In many ways, I like to think of that as God is so unique and there's no one like him. And there's really no way to fully articulate him. You can look at his attributes, his names, his titles, and those sorts of things. But even then, we only have a limited view of him, you might say. God just is so unique. And as many commentators take it, as I do, in John, he says seven different times, and he makes the declaration that I am. Now, how does this relate, though, to the angel of the Lord, the I am statements in Jesus' pre-existence? I want you to turn with me now to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 13 through 15. And I want us to see if we can tie all of this together. Jesus' pre-existence, the I am statement that was made both in John, and how Jesus is, if you will, alluding or referencing it back in Exodus. How do we tie all this together, or do we? So now in Joshua chapter 5, beginning in verse 13, now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no, rather I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, what has my Lord to say to his servant? The captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. This is quite a fascinating passage on its own, but let's tie all this together. So Joshua, of course, will take God's people into the promised land, whereas Moses brought them to the edge of it, you might say. Joshua here falls down, but you'll notice in verse 14 who he falls down to. He says, rather, I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord. So if you remember in our earlier study, we saw host, H-O-S-T, or Lord of the host, that the host refers to the Lord's armies, the armies of heaven. So this individual that is speaking, speaks as the captain of the heavenly armies, and Joshua falls down and begins to worship him, if you will, and ask him, "What has my Lord said to say to his servant?" But you'll notice verse 15 that the captain of the Lord's armies, the host, says, "Remove your sandals from the place where you're standing. You are standing on holy ground." This is the same thing that the Lord says in Exodus 3:5. Exodus 3:5 is the passage that we looked at just a few moments ago. Exodus 3:5 is the burning bush, and where God tells Moses, "I am." But you'll also notice back in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 5, that's the same statement that God makes. God there says in verse 5, "Do not come near here," Exodus 3:5, "remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." All this to say that this individual is the captain of the heavenly armies. He claims to, as we've said before, speak and identify himself as God. But interestingly enough, Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2 says, "The angel of the Lord appeared in the midst of the fire of the burning bush." So most commentators, as I do as well, when you take all of these pieces, Jesus stating that he is, I am, his preexistence, looking back to Exodus 3, we see the burning bush and the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord speaks, if you will, for God or as God. He says that Moses is standing on holy ground and that his name is I Am, just as Jesus states. So all of these put together, and then when we get to Joshua chapter 5, you see that the same idea is present there. Joshua falling down to worship, but this individual refers to himself a little more specifically as the captain, the head of the armies of the angels of heaven. And he also speaks of that it is holiness there. Now I want you to look with me for a moment in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 14. So all of this put together makes a very good case where there are a lot of similarities, and there are some very specific items that would make one think that this is a pre-existent, the angel of the Lord, that is a pre-existent Jesus Christ before he took on flesh in Bethlehem. I'll draw your attention lastly to Revelation 19:14. It says, "The armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses." Who's the him? Well, the him is described in verse 11. "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war." So I think the answer to the question is, are there any similarities between Jesus and the angel of the Lord? Are there any connections, if you will, from the Old Testament to the New Testament? And I think the answer is clearly yes. One can make a very good, solid biblical case that the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, as we saw in the first question, he identifies, speaks as God. He also exercises, you will, the prerogatives of God. And when you look at Jesus in the Gospels as well as in Revelation, he carries with him a lot of those similar types of functions, you will. So certainly there are some similarities and a good case for Jesus being the angel of the Lord as we see in the Old Testament. Now this brings us to our third question, which is, do we see any appearances of the angel of the Lord after the incarnation? Well, this is a great question and kind of helps us to even better identify a good case for the angel of the Lord being a pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. Is the answer to the question, do we see any appearances of the angel of the Lord after the incarnation? And the answer is no. The appearances stop after the incarnation of Jesus Christ. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 1 and verse 11. Now, some will say, well, there is the angel of the Lord in the New Testament, and it's in the birth narrative, you will, section of Luke's gospel, in particular with John the Baptist. And this comes from Luke chapter 1 and verse 11. I'm going to read it, and I'm reading from the New American Standard 95, and it says, "And an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing to the right of the altar of incense." You'll notice when I read it, it says, an angel of the Lord, as opposed to what we've been reading, the, sort of an emphatic, you might say, the angel of the Lord. So the Bible clearly has angels in them. The more general, if you will, generic angels, with the angel of the Lord being unique and specific. And there are specific unique angels. We have seen that with Gabriel as well as with Michael. But here, this is one passage that many will use as to say, well, an angel of the Lord is present in the Baptist birth announcement, John the Baptist. But even if you read this in another translation, you'll find the same thing. The New King James says the same thing. Then an angel of the Lord appeared. So what you have there is needing to look at what the text teaches. The text does not say the angel of the Lord, but rather an angel of the Lord. And the Lord has many angels, as we've already seen, myriads and myriads and thousands and thousands. And then one other reference, and I won't read this, it has the same idea, which is in Acts 5:19. There again, you see the same expression, but during the night, an angel of the Lord appeared. So again, the answer to the question, do we see any appearances of the angel of the Lord after the incarnation? And the answer is no. They cease at the birth, you might say, in that time period. Whereas previously, there were many examples, as we've looked at a few already. So we've seen so far that there's evidence that the angel of the Lord, a good case can be made that he is a pre-incarnate Jesus. We've seen that in particular in the first question we looked at. There are some similarities, in other words, there are some examples in the gospel period as well as in Revelation that fit well with some of the descriptions that God has of himself as well as the angel of the Lord in the Exodus passages and Joshua. But what can we learn from this? And that's what I want us to conclude with. What can we learn from this study? What can we take away from it? First, the angel of the Lord does reflect many of the attributes of God. And as we've already stated, speaks on behalf of God and such. He also acts distinct from God at times. And this one is fascinating because the Bible itself speaks of a Trinitarian God, if you will, the doctrine of the Trinity. God in three persons, distinct yet equal. So that fits well with that as we've looked at. The angel of the Lord also reflects many of the similarities with Jesus in the New Testament, whether it be by function or by what he speaks of. I am, in those I am statements, the one we looked at in, for example, John 8:58. And then lastly, of course, a strong case is made for this view that the angel of the Lord is a pre-incarnate Jesus is because the appearances stop after the birth of Jesus. Well, this concludes not only today's episode, but as I said at the beginning, our study on angelology, the doctrine of angels. If you would like to study this more in detail, I can recommend two books to you and for you. First is Ranald Schauer's. He has a book entitled Angels, and that one is a very helpful book and one I've referenced in the study. And then also, and lastly, see Fred Dickinson's book on angels. is very helpful as well. So both of those can give you some more additional details and on this particular subject. Well, as I said, this concludes today's episode. Thank you for joining, and I look forward to hearing from you again next time. Until then, God bless.